Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I am your host for today, Susan Franzen, and Ursula Rudenberg is my co-host. Hi, Ursula.
Hi, Susan. Our program today is about the Story County Community Foundation's annual award ceremony, which we attended yesterday. It was very exciting because we also received a grant during these awards, and we were also able to cover the event for this morning's program while we were receiving the awards, so it was a wonderful experience. The grant that we received was to help pay for what is going to be the piece of equipment that's really going to be the heart of our broadcast studio. We are excited. We're beginning to build our broadcast studios here at the Ames Pantorium at 410 Douglas. And this will really enable us to do radio that will sound better and will be more comfortable for everybody. We'll kind of miss the storefront window, but other than that, it'll just be a whole lot better environment for the volunteers that work here and the people that are guests on our shows. So we're very excited, and it will sound a whole lot better, and it will be a lot easier to run. I'm going to put our engineer on the spot for a minute. Rick, can you describe right now a little bit what kind of equipment we're using?
Yeah, at the moment, it's pretty much like I like to call it a ghetto setup. We're using like a Radio Shack mixer, so it's kind of like a consumer product, but yeah, it's, you know, everything's pieced together where everything works.
So we're doing it on the cheap right now.
On the cheap right now, yes.
So when we buy the console, what will that be like? What will be the difference?
You won't have multiple units. It'd be everything in one box. So,
and that box will then basically process all of the sound in the studio to go on the air.
Right.
Thank you, Rick. Rick is our engineer. He is really the only one who knows how to effectively run all these machines that we piece together, and he actually has an engineer in training right now, like Rebecca Brown, who is learning that, but we're excited that very soon she's going to be able to learn how to run the council. So we are very grateful to the Story County Community Foundation and thank them very much for their help. This organization has been helping KHOI all along. They helped us pay for the building that houses our transmitter. They helped pay for the link to our radio tower here from the Pantorium, and now they're helping us with the last leg of the building. The ceremony is always held at Ryman Gardens. It was a beautiful ceremony yesterday. It was pretty exciting, Susan.
Actually, to me, the most interesting thing was not our award. It was all the others, because it's truly a community foundation. And that really came through, and we'll talk about that later in the program, what some of the other awards were. The most fun award to hear about was last year's major grant. Every year, the foundation has one major grant for $25,000 and another number of other grants for $6,000 or less. And the major grant for last year was presented to Heartland Senior Services. And Liz Beck came to tell us what it was. And so do you have a clip of that, Rick, that you can play for us?
My name's Chuck Glotz. I'm the chair of the Story County Community Foundation Board of Directors and serving as MC here today. And really pleased to be with a group of supporters of our community in this way. We have gathered here people who, by their donations, support the activities in the community. What we're all here to do is have things happen in the community that make it a better community. And so, in particular, we'll turn that job over today as we hand out checks to the doers in the community that are so important to a good life in Story County. So you should feel particularly proud of the activities that you're having funded, because we got many worthy requests. And Judy Jones headed up the allocations committee that had to sort through those and had the very tough job on the one hand of turning some down, but the very good job and pleasing job of being able to choose your projects as very worthy ones. So we're all very proud of the work you do in the community and any assistance we can offer for that. We're going to start off with an example of one of the two types of grants we'll have today. So we have major grants, community grant one each year has been the practice, and then a multiple of smaller amount community grants. And so we have Liz Beck from Heartland Senior Services to tell us a little bit about the activities from the previous major grant last year. Kind of hope that given that it was a kitchen remodeling to really put out good stuff that she might have offered to cater this event, but that she didn't do, but she did agree to talk.
Thank you, Chuck. It's a pleasure to be up here. It's a pleasure to address all of you. Heartland was the recipient of the major grant last year. Nutrition has always been one of our primary services of Heartland. We serve both congregate meals in 7 sites around the county, as well as deliver meals to individuals' homes outside the city limits of Ames. Last year, we served 23,500 congregate meals and 22,000 meals to individuals in their homes. I want you to know that we could not have done that without loyal support of our volunteers who do these home deliveries to individuals. Almost all of the congregate and home-delivered meals are prepared and sent out from our kitchen in Ames, utilizing a small staff of 1 head cook, 1 assistant cook, and 2 kitchen workers, all of whom are part-time. That's 45,000 meals being prepared by part-time staff 5 days a week, 351 days a year. The Story County Community Foundation grant allowed Heartland to purchase and install what is known as a combi oven. This oven is a pretty amazing piece of technology, so you can all ask for this oven for Christmas. Here it is. The combi oven is essentially a cooking center in one piece of equipment. It features the ability to cook by steam heat or dry heat or a combination of both. Because of its computer memory, it can store recipes, allowing cooks to have at their fingertips the settings for the cook and hold, overnight roasting, baking, sautéing, braising, and steaming. Essentially, anything you would do on a range top or in an oven can be done in this oven, even a grilled cheese sandwich without flipping the sandwich. The ability to add some humidity to the cavity of the oven through the steam feature allows meat to be cooked with a crispy outside and a juicy inside. Fried foods do not need to be cooked in grease. With this oven, the product comes out as if it had been fried, but without the grease. The quick cooking feature also makes this oven a time saver for us and allows us to batch cook closer to the point of service than ever before. Because of this, we can work to the future of being able to prepare more meals more efficiently for the seniors in Story County. And at the end of the day, this oven cleans itself. How many of us put this on our Christmas list, okay? Because you can just put it in there and it just does it. It's an amazing piece of technology, and it's all because you were willing to give us the start we needed to get it done. So all in all, that new oven will have and continue to have a significant impact on the nutrition program at Heartland. We are now able to be responsive to the opportunities that arise. For example, in less than 10 days, Mary Ellen could gear up the kitchen and adjust the menu to add feeding 100 children in the Nevada Summer Feed Program. And the interesting thing is that the director of that program noted that some of those children learn to eat fish one bite at a time. The combi oven has enhanced our ability to prepare food more efficiently, thus saving some overhead costs. But more importantly, we can prepare food more safely, which in today's world and the world of the Department of Inspections is very important. Finally, this oven is helping us make changes in the kinds of foods and the ways we can prepare it that will be more appealing to the younger generation of seniors who are entering our service sector and whose food choices are significantly different than the older segment of seniors. While I doubt that liver and onions will go away soon because 60 people still show up for our monthly liver and onions meals, I do know what I call baked crispy chicken and soup and sandwiches could become regular offerings. But the real impact of the combi oven is what we do is in the story of Eleanor. Eleanor just began home-delivered meals in October. Her daughter left home recently, and Eleanor is now living alone. Eleanor has mobility problems and standing issues and cannot drive. There are a few businesses listed in her community, but no grocery store. The nearest grocery store is 5 miles away on the highway. Now Eleanor is getting home-delivered meals 5 days a week from Heartland and will probably receive 21 to 23 meals a month. Eleanor's story is typical of many of those who utilize our nutrition department. We know hunger and food security affects all ages of our county residents. So Heartland, Senior Services, and the people we serve in our nutrition program are so very grateful for the support of the Story County Community Foundation and what you gave us in helping to update and enhance our nutrition program. Thank you.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. My name is Ursula Rudenberg. I'm your host this morning with Susan Franson. And we're talking about the awards that were given out yesterday by the Story County Community Foundation. at the Ryman Gardens. This is a yearly event that really helps to promote organizations and services in our county. You were listening right now to Liz Beck, who received last year's major grant of $25,000 from the Story County Community Foundation, describing what they did with the money, an oven for their renovated kitchen.
For Heartland Senior Services.
For Heartland Senior Services. Susie Scherholz is here this morning with us. She is the outgoing chair and president of the Story County Community Foundation. And also Vern Hawkins is here, a board member. Welcome, Susie and Vern.
Good morning.
Thank you both for coming to the studio. Somebody asked Susie yesterday if she had a job besides the work for the Story County Community Foundation. What answer did you give them, Susie?
Oh, goodness. I didn't have time for much beyond the Community Foundation. It was, I don't think you could call it a job because it was always so much fun to be working on what we were doing at the foundation, but...
Vern, you do have an outside job. Can you tell us about it?
Yes, I work for Iowa State University in the admissions office, helping incoming freshmen to enroll. So I can be blamed for this burgeoning number of students traipsing across campus.
And this is both a volunteer service that you're doing at the Story County Community Foundation, is that correct?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely, yes. Uh-huh. It has been an all-volunteer organization until this past July, and we've grown to the point that it was really necessary to have paid staff and be more professional with what we were doing, and so we were able to hire a part-time, now executive director of the Story County Community Foundation, Jennifer Garst.
So the Story County Community Foundation is an organization that belongs to us here in Story County. Susie, you were a founding member of the organization, weren't you?
I certainly was.
Could you tell us a little bit about how it got started?
It was definitely a group effort, but we became aware of the legislative initiative to try and return some of the gaming revenues to the counties that didn't have gaming, Story County being one of them. And I had heard about it, and so I started looking around to find who was going to be administering that in Story County for another project I was working on, only to find that we couldn't apply for the money because we didn't have a community foundation. And that was a vehicle they were using for distributing this money.
So gaming money is essentially the casinos, is that correct?
It is. It's the mm-hmm. tax that they pay then to the state. Mm-hmm. And so the county endowment program involved a percentage of that tax going to the other counties. So a group of us got together and started trying to find, I mean, Story County has many wonderful foundations that were already doing very good work, and we weren't sure we needed another foundation, but we couldn't get anybody else to take on the additional. It's a county-wide effort, and many of the foundations just involved one entity. So we decided to get a group together and talk about it. We had somebody from every community in the county, met at the extension office in Nevada, and decided on the spot that we were going to go for it and see if we couldn't put together a community foundation. So we decided that we wanted to affiliate with the Community Foundation of Greater Des Moines to be our legal entity. They're kind of our parents. And that's worked extremely well for us. And then we decided we were ready to apply for the county endowment money. And we're so excited when we found out that we were going to be bringing those first dollars to Story County. And our job then was to grant those dollars out to be spent in Story County within the year. And our first round of grants, we were able to give away $44,700. And to us, that was huge. I mean, we were so excited. Actually, we were the first county in Iowa to give away the county endowment grants. So Channel 8 came and covered it on TV, and it was kind of a big deal. We baked a cake the shape of Story County and wow. put a dot where all the grants were going. We were very proud of ourselves. I don't know
that
if that's
cake.
Good or bad.
We don't have it anymore, right?
We don't. You know what? Story County isn't a very pretty shape.
When did this all happen?
2005 was when those became available, yes. And so we've been there since the beginning.
And the first year you gave away the $40,000.
Mm-hmm.
How much did you give away this year?
Almost $100,000. To date, we have given away more than $700,000 in grants. that's primarily the County Endowment Fund, but we are very pleased with the fact that our own Story County Community Foundation endowment, that's an unrestricted fund, is growing to the point that we are now able to supplement the County Endowment Fund with some grant dollars of our own. So that's a big goal, to increase that, to be able to add to the pot of money we can give away.
It was announced yesterday that you were leaving as the chair of this, or the president of the foundation. Can you explain why you're leaving?
Well, as we wrote our bylaws, we put term limits in, and I firmly believe that every organization, and we were totally all volunteer at the time, needs to have term limits. You need new blood. You need to keep moving things on. And it's not that somebody that was on the board for their term to the end of their term can't remain involved as a volunteer. They just can't be on the board of directors. So we, with that initial board, staggered terms out, 3 years of three term limits. And this finishes 9 years for me at the end of this year. So we now have a new board chair and a paid executive director. And it's with mixed feelings that I will be turning over my keys, because it's like raising your child, and you give them roots and wings and send them off to college. It's not the easiest thing to do, and it's not without emotion, especially when they want to do things differently than I do. And I know that my time is up.
So what has this all meant to you in the end? When you look back, what do you remember?
You know, the people have had so much to do with the enjoyment of all of this. I've met so many wonderful people in Story County that I wouldn't have had the opportunity to work with otherwise. I wouldn't have known you if it hadn't been for the grants to KHOI. But it's a wonderful and very generous community that we live in. And when you get involved, I mean, we get involved with a lot of the human service agencies in that we are going through their grant applications and then working with them to wrap up their projects and get the reporting done. You get to know the people providing these services in Ames and talk about, well, just like they said yesterday about Vic Moss, he is truly an angel in our community, and to have the opportunity to be able to see some of those things firsthand. Makes you want to raise an awfully lot more money so that you can give more away, because there is a big need in our county. And I know that there are bigger needs in other counties, but that doesn't mean we don't have needs here in Story County.
Mm-hmm. Is there any particular experience that sticks out in your mind as something you'll just never forget?
Well, we took a different route than the other community foundations did when they were established. And a piece of this county endowment program was called Endow Iowa, that allowed funds of a community foundation to be able to make donors eligible for tax credits. And most of the other counties, or all of the other counties in the beginning, saved that for themselves. Only their own endowment funds were able to utilize that, with the hope that then their funds would really grow. And we didn't want, I spoke before about the numerous foundations that already were thriving in Story County. We didn't want them to hate us because we could offer so much more to their donors. We didn't want to be competition. We wanted to work together. And so we decided right away that if they wanted to start a fund with a community foundation, their donor dollars could go through that fund and create long-term sustainable endowments for those nonprofits. And it works so well for the Story County Community Foundation and those agencies that started funds. YSS was the first nonprofit that said, we think this is the right thing to do. And, of course, George Belitzos has such a wonderful reputation in the nonprofit world that a lot of other ones said, if YSS thinks this is a good thing, it's a good thing. And and it really started snowballing.
YSS is Youth and Shelter Services.
I'm sorry, yes. Mm-hmm. When it's just the really rewarding part is now those endowment funds have grown to the size that they are starting to return a sizable amount of money to those agencies every year, and they will forever. And it's really the idea of those agencies becoming more sustainable. It's really exciting to me. That
you've really left a legacy that will last into perpetuity here in Story County.
I hope so. It's not just me. I didn't do it by myself.
Speaking of other people, Vern is also here in the studio with us. How did you become a board member, Vern?
Susie invited me.
Look out, here she comes.
That's right. No, I found out after I was invited and came on board that the foundation has made a concerted effort to try to include folks from all over the county, from all walks of life. So there are people working with the university, there are people running their own businesses, there are people employed in larger businesses, and there are people, again, from all over the county. Right now, we have people from Ames, Huxley, Story City, and I'm sure I'm leaving out some, but the point is, when it was identified as Story County Community Foundation, I think the Susie and the people on board at the time really made a concerted effort to make sure all of the county was represented, and they looked out for some strange guy named Vern that might add a different thing to the mix, and I was invited on board. So that's how I became a member.
I couldn't help thinking when Susie said, it's like, you know, your child grows up and goes off to college, and I thought, and then you need Vern in the admissions office.
To handle all those kids that were going off to college from home.
Right. All these community grants that need to come here and have a little counseling.
Hadn't thought about that.
And which of your three-year terms are you in?
I'm in my second term, so yeah, I'm almost getting close to the end, but I'll stick around as a volunteer, kind of like Susie is. If I have some skills or expertise that can be used, I'm still going to devote them to the foundation because I really believe in what they're doing, and I've been totally inspired by what we have been doing.
Well, what are some of the things that have inspired you? Do you have any stories?
Well, first of all, I'm going to start with the people. When you have a foundation that's made up of people from literally almost anything you can think of, the business world, the medical world, the education world, you're going to have all these different personalities. A lot of them are strong personalities, and they don't necessarily mesh together. That can turn into either some animosity or it can turn into some ribbing that can turn good-natured, which actually feeds the group. And that's really what I've found over the years, that there's always this good-natured ribbing. There's always somebody that's going to give me a hard time if I walk in with a bow tie on or something like that, and everybody else has a flannel shirt. Yeah, it's a good thing we're on radio instead of television, so people can't see what I'm... But the point is that good-natured ribbing brings out interests and personalities that, when added into the mix, really does a good job of making sure that all is represented within the county. And I think that's really a foundational part of the Story County Foundation, that everyone and everything is represented when we start looking at where to place these grant dollars and what might do the best. But I think the best thing to leave it at is that with all these personalities around the table, every point gets emphasized. And I'd really be probably betraying some confidences if I talk too much about that process. Just let you know that we didn't always agree, but when we came together, the final analysis, I think the final result has been beautiful.
I just, at this last go-round with our allocations, we were working on grants, I specifically remember one person who was a community member of that committee looking at Vern and saying, what do you mean? Don't you like to feed kids? So it gets a little personal sometimes. We all get grants that we sort of end up favoring a bit, and then you fight for them.
That's exactly right.
Well, this is KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I'm your host for today, Susan Franzen. With Ursula Rudenberg, we've been talking to Susie Scheerholz and Vern Hawkins from the board of the Story County Community Foundation. This is what I love about KHOI, is when I get to go out in the county and meet the people. And when I said I was really excited to be at the award ceremony and see who the awards went to, it was because this is a way to find out some of those services.
Yeah, one of the things that was really enjoyable about the ceremony is there were quite a few grants. By listening to all the different awards, you really become aware of all these things that people are doing that you just never think of, because you see really the detailed way that services are delivered by different organizations. We do have a few recordings that we took at the ceremony, and the first one is David Williams, who is with the Ames Breakfast Lions Club, describing the award they got and what they're doing with it. Mr. David Williams, you're from the Ames Breakfast Lions Club. So who exactly is the Ames Breakfast Lions Club?
We're just a group of volunteers that come to work together to do service projects. The motto of Lions throughout the world is we serve. So we just look for special needs that need to be met and no one else is meeting them.
Lions is an international club?
That's right. It's the largest international service organization in the world. All different nationalities. You go to China, you're going to have Chinese. You know, every country in the world practically has a Lions Club.
And who generally joins?
Anyone that enjoys service. Anyone that's service-minded. We come together where we can do things together that we couldn't do individually. We also have clubs called Leos in high school.
How old is the organization?
It's been probably getting close to 100 years old now. Helen Keller was instrumental in getting the Lions Club started. She was the inspiration behind it. It was started basically to help people with vision problems. We work all the way across the state of Iowa as a service to children, taking pictures of kids' eyes and identifying eye problems, vision problems at a very early age, working through preschools and daycares.
Yes. And you were just awarded a grant from the Story County Community Foundation.
The award is going to go towards the purchase of new equipment to screen children's eyes in preschools and daycares, and we can do that from a child from the age of 6 months up through about 5 years, and we can detect disease problems such as amblyopia or lazy eye and other disease problems at a very early age and get those corrected, get a referral by to the parent and on to a doctor to get that corrected before the problems get worse.
And how do you screen them?
We take an actual picture of the kid's eye, so to speak, and we send it to Iowa City, where it's read by professionals. And then the center there sends back a note to the parent if they see a problem and encourage the child to go see a doctor.
How was it today accepting this award?
I feel real good. This is a real honor to get this grant because this will enable us to get electronic equipment that we can do this with a high-quality camera, and we'll be able to send the pictures electronically to Iowa City and do it a lot faster and more efficient.
Why do you work with the Breakfast Lions Club?
I like to help people. So I've worked in education all my life.
Were you a teacher?
I was a professor at Iowa State University in the College of Ag. I worked with ag education for 30 years here at Iowa State, so 45 years in teaching altogether. And when I retired, I just looked for a way to continue that. The Lions Club kind of serves as a vehicle where I can help other people.
And why are you called the Breakfast Lions Club?
We started a new club in Ames here on 9/11, 01, the real 9/11. We started a new club here, and there was already a noon club, and it was an evening club. So we started a noon club, and we call it the Breakfast Club. But our club has gotten a little bit older, and we frequently meet in the afternoons now instead of the mornings. So we'll be meeting tomorrow night, and we'll be giving this check to our treasurer. And we now, with this money here, have the other money that we need to get the equipment.
Bye-bye. Thank you very much. This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, and we're talking today about the awards that were given out yesterday by the Story County Community Foundation. The ceremony was held at Ryman Gardens, and a large number of different service organizations in Story County received grants, including KHOI. And Susie Scherholtz, the outgoing president of the organization, is here with us, and we're listening to some of the recipients of the grant. And after the ceremony, I had the chance to talk also with Lynn Peterson of Gilbert about another program that received money, the Backpack Buddy program that was initiated at the church up in Gilbert. And here's how she described their program.
I am Lynn Peterson, and I'm part of a committee of 13 who has started the Backpack Buddy / Friends of Gilbert. We're very excited to receive the grant because it will help provide food for the children of our school district who may be food insecure. It also enables a parent to not have that stress and cause those children to feel a little tension in the home so they can relax knowing that they will have food over the weekend. Their parents can enjoy their children more.
What do you end up giving the children?
Okay, we do two breakfasts, two lunches, two suppers, and two snacks. And we provide them with as high quality nutrition as we possibly can. Our backpacks are not just to fill bellies. We get dietitian recommendations from ISU dietitians that we have in our community to help us choose foods that will actually adequately prepare them for the next week of school. Every week a child goes home with a piece of fresh fruit. They have whole grain cereals, oatmeals, shelf-stable milk. They have fruit cups, pudding. We try to balance their proteins, their carbs, in their fruit and dairy. We have to keep in mind that some of our youngest children are 4 years old. We have to use lightweight things with pull-top lids.
And are you a volunteer with this program?
We are all volunteers.
So why do you do this?
I taught at the Gilbert schools for a long, long time. I even raised my children there. And we did a study last fall that was about this time of the year from a book called Exodus from Hunger from David Beckman. He is the head of the Bread for the World organization in Washington, D.C., advocacy, somewhat political thing, non-denominational. And we read the book, and we were horrified to hear what we learned from his book. Simultaneous with that study, the Des Moines Register did several weekend pieces in the Sunday papers about hunger in Iowa. Some of the working poor who live paycheck to paycheck, and sometimes they have jobs that pay minimum wage, and I learned last night at the One Voice that it takes $19.75 per hour to be able to live in this Ames community and just provide for basic needs. And with $7.75 as the hourly wage currently, they just can't make ends meet. We saw a chart that showed that 8.6% of students that attended Gilbert schools were indeed food insecure. And we thought that was terribly unacceptable. And in an affluent district like Gilbert, we certainly should feed the children. And I was part of that study, and we determined that we were just going to take a leap of faith right off the cliff. We had not one dime. We passed a plastic bag the first Sunday in February, I believe. And just through the pews of our church alone, we got $2,300. Wow. And 11 cents. Because I looked every single kid in the eye, and I said, every penny counts, and they tossed in their Sunday school money, I suppose. But it was an awesome experience. So we had something to start with. In an affluent district like Gilbert, we knew that if we could get this started, that we would have so many people wanting to be a part of this, and we do. We have had lots and lots of people donate. We will walk into our pantry room, and there are cases of food just brought in from people not only in our church but community-wide. So it's a growing program. We started last year with 8. It grew to 13. We fed these children over the summer, and when we put the brochure in the children's back-to-school packs, we ended up with 32 children. The children are anonymous to us. The counselors at each of the 3 different schools, pre-K through 8, that we have there in the little town of Gilbert, are our liaisons. They tell us the numbers. We bring the bags to the schools discreetly packaged in regular grocery bags. And we just do not want one single child in our district to go home on a weekend hungry.
Did it feel good to get the award today?
It was amazing. It was amazing. We had been anticipating help from every source under every rock so that we can maintain this, because we don't want it to be something that can't grow. And we're really being so helped by this particular grant from the Story County Foundation. And we're just very, very grateful.
So how can people reach you?
You can reach me at lpeterson12@hotmail.com. lpeterson12@hotmail.com.
Is that Peterson with an E or an O at the end?
That's an O, farm family from way back.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, that's a sample of the awards made today, but it doesn't begin to show the variety of grants and towns represented. In addition to Ames, there were 9 towns which received awards. In summary, there were awards for Colo, Collins, Gilbert, Maxwell, Roland, and Story City. And there were 3 for library projects, 1 each for Colo, Collins, and Nevada. One in particular, the Roland Grant for the new building for the park facilities, will serve children far beyond Roland. Mayor Roger Fritz told us about it.
In about 2009, the Britson family donated 7 acres of land on the west side of Roland to be used for a park. So the park board worked on a deal to put in 2 softball/little league baseball fields. And we did that and put in a playground. And there's area for soccer and football practices. And, so we're building that. And this, we're kind of on the home stretch now. The fields are in thanks to a lot of other grants we got. And the Story County Community Foundation grant will help us in building our concession stand /restroom/storage building, which is important. And part of the deal with the concession stand is to help our local youth sports be self-sustaining, because they make money out of the concession stand. So, this isn't just a handout of money. It's a handout of money that will help these groups make money and be self-sustaining. So that's what's really nice about getting this grant and the other ones we've got for our concession stand project.
Well, this serves more than just Roland, doesn't it?
It's going to be the home field of kids from Roland and Story City for the Roland Story School District, but the girls' softball's in a league with Nevada and Colonesco kids, Gilbert kids, and some from Ames, and then the boys' baseball, pretty much the same towns except Ames, and throw South Hamilton in and kids from up that way. So, we're figuring in a given year, once this is going between the two fields, there might be upwards of 600 different kids that step on the field at least once. Primarily the kids from Roland and Story City will be on it, but kids, from Zering and Nevada, they'll all be using it. And then obviously all the parents that come there too, so it'll be a lot bigger number that will use that facility. It's a good way to help keep our fees down. And I know our Little League fees are way cheaper than in other communities, and part of it is because so many of the towns in the North Story Little League and the softball, the Story County Softball Leagues, cost down and get more kids involved, obviously off the couch and get them out playing baseball.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, and this morning we're talking with Susie Scherholz, who's the outgoing president of Story County Community Foundation. The foundation gave out their yearly grants yesterday at Ryman Gardens and to a large number of organizations. We still haven't mentioned the major grant that was given out for this year. It was $25,000 for the Story County Community Health Center. Could you tell us about that, Susie?
We're so excited to finally feel like we could give grants that were going to make a little bit of a bigger impact. And I think this was our 4th year for a major grant that we felt would really serve the entire county. That's an important part of what we do with the major grants. And primary health, and Ryan, I don't know if you want to describe the process that when we ended up getting into this, but maybe just a little background. We have had, and here I am. I should introduce Ryan. Yes, thank you. Ryan Crane is here with primary health out of Des Moines, and maybe you should explain a little bit what primary health is doing, and then I'll explain how we got to this.
Sure, happy to. My name is Ryan Crane, and I'm the development director at Primary Healthcare. We have tried to secure a grant to operate in Story County 3 times. In 2008, we worked very closely with Mary Greeley, and were unsuccessful in obtaining the federal grant. In 2010, we tried again, same thing, struck out, and now 3rd time being the charm. We we are in the middle of our 120-day window to operate and begin operating a federally qualified health center here in Ames.
So explain exactly who you are.
Right. So primary health care has been in central Iowa since 1981. We provide health care to the central Iowans who need it most, whether they are low-income families, substance abuse and behavioral health, folks who are homeless, folks who are living with HIV, basically the central Iowans who would otherwise not be able to access health care. We provide health care primarily to folks who are on Medicare and Medicaid, although we do obviously accept private insurance as well. But basically, it's the folks who need care the most.
And Ursula, your listeners probably would identify this with a free medical clinic. First Methodist Church has housed that in either their auxiliary building or in the church itself for many years, and it's been done with all volunteers. Dr. Jay Brown and Mary Kitchell really have spearheaded volunteers to run this program for years and years, but it is in need of a more professional situation. So that's really why Mary Greeley was working with them for this grant. And we were approached early on about the possibility. One of the things they felt that they had missed in their original grant application was showing the huge community support. And that's where the Story County Community Foundation came in. We said we really would like to be involved with this, and we felt it was a very good project for all of Story County. And so we committed our major grant to this project to help them renovate the space that they're going to need for this clinic. But we wanted to commit up front so they could use that in their grant application.
How will we see the results of this?
On January 9, we will be opening our temporary location, which is across the street from Mary Greeley Medical Center. We will begin seeing patients on January 9. We will have our fully functioning permanent location by no later than July 1st. The grant, which I'll back up for a second, the grant for a federally qualified health center basically means that we are a Medicaid-designated provider. Not all community health centers and clinics can provide those services. It takes a certain scope and a certain agreement to provide those kinds of services. And
what are the services that people will be able to get there?
So basic medical care. We will be referring out for dental care and mental health care, but in the clinic we will be providing wellness exams, checkups, physicals, immunizations, vaccinations, and just basic family practice care.
And who's eligible?
Anyone, but our target demographic is folks who fall at or below the federal poverty line, which is about $15,000 a year for an individual and about $29,000 a year for a family of four.
So if you don't feel that you can afford to pay for medical services, this is someplace that you can go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yep, and we have a sliding scale a fee structure, so we try to be fair to all the patients who come in. The Affordable Care Act will be interesting to see how that affects the way that we provide services. Nothing will really change day to day from a community perspective, but for us it will be interesting to see. Fortunately, there was a bit of bipartisan cooperation last summer, and the governor and Democrats and Republicans worked together to expand Medicaid for folks living at or below the poverty line, which not all states have done. So in these days of partisanship, it was nice to see that, and it works out favorably for us.
Brian, may I ask him a question? As you were talking, what are we doing with prenatal care? Is that going to be a part of
prenatal care? Yep. So basically, we're going to be the front lines, is perhaps a better way to say it. So we will make preliminary diagnoses and baseline health care analysis and diagnosis, and then we will refer out or take care of it ourselves, depending on the level. We will not be performing surgery. We will be doing x-rays. We will be doing some what you might call a mid-level health analysis. We will be doing some pediatric some, again, preliminary dental, for example, but we will be partnering with MICA for dental. We'll be hopefully partnering with Ireland Ball for mental health. For some of the prenatal and well woman stuff, we can do at our clinic, but then for other things, we'll have to contract out for that as well.
Thank you. Ryan, again, what is the organization that you're representing?
Primary Healthcare. Three words, Primary Healthcare.
And Primary Healthcare was the recipient of the large grant this year of $25,000. Every year, the Story County Community Foundation gives out a relatively varied group of grants called Community Grants that are $6,000 or below, and then one grant for $25,000 to one organization, and this year, this was the major grant. So congratulations.
Yes, and, thank you.
Look forward to your services. Susie, you are leaving the Story County Community Foundation now. There's going to be an award in your name, which is going to focus on children. Is that correct?
That is. And I was just extremely touched when they said that they wanted to do that. The grants are near and dear to my heart, as are children. And they asked me what sort of grant, and I got to describe what I would like the grant to serve each year, and both what I didn't want to and what I did want to. So it was very special for me. And the first one was given this year. And my priorities are children and the agencies that serve the children, whether it's education, health, or shelter. And this year I got to choose the grant, and it went to the Emergency Residence Project.
Why are children your priority?
How can they not be? I was an elementary teacher, so I think that's where it came from. But
this is KHOI Community Radio. And we are your host today. I'm Ursula Rudenberg. And
Susan Franza.
And today we reported on the awards from the Story County Community Foundation. And our guests were Susie Sherholtz, the outgoing president, Vern Hawkins, a board member, and Liz Beck was on audio. She was from Heartland Services. David Williams from the Ames Breakfast, the Eagles. Lynn Peterson from the Backpack Buddy program up in Gilbert. And Robert Fritz, who is the mayor of Roland.
Roger Fritz, yes.
Roger Fritz, the mayor of Roland.
Yes.
Reporter Cynthia McClure helped out with this programming today. And our program engineer is, as always, the great Richard Morrison, who actually spoke today on the air. And you can also listen to all of our past local talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org. If you enjoyed this show, tell your friends and check us out on Facebook. Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a radio show. If you would like to join our reporting team, please contact us at 292-2878. That's 292-2878, or contact us through our website at khoifm.org. Your participation as an audience and your generous donations help make KHOI possible.
See you again on the radio.